Hey there, welcome to Altars Up Witches, a podcast that explores the roles of queer and trans artists and witches at the intersections of ritual, art, and community.
Join Kiki and Ilva every full and new moon for witch tips, a lunation reading, conversations, and guest interviews. Follow us on Instagram at The Living Altar for more information.
It's Ilva
and Kiki.
We're Bimbo Yaga
and Space Daddy,
here to guide you on another new moon cosmic adventure.
Raw and real edition.
Yeah, we were recording it literally on the day of the new moon, and we're outside in the sunshine. There's beautiful birds, and there's some crows who are going to probably come in and have something to say, and maybe our neighbors.
And maybe Iris.
And maybe Iris will also have something to say.
So we'll find out. We will have some special guests, no doubt about that.
Surprise guests.
Yeah, so I guess we'll see who shows up.
Yeah. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that we're here.
Yes, I'm super excited to be also facilitating the collective reading today, especially with all the Pisces energy that we have going on.
Totally. Do you want to talk about some of the Pisces energy?
Yeah. So we currently have the Sun, the Moon, Venus, as well as Neptune in Pisces. Pisces is ruled by Neptune. And so we have a lot of this, you know, dreamy kind of dissolution of reality, time magic, deep watery energy happening. So if you feel like you're having an experience where you're having a hard time being in a body, it's because of the Pisces energy that's happening. And while I do feel like there's a lot of healing that is available at this time, especially with Venus and Pisces, it can feel very bizarre. And I feel like that's maybe one of the reasons why we took 3 days to get to this podcast recording.
It was literally impossible. I think like we tried a number of times this week, and it feels like the closer we got to the Pisces, the new moon in Pisces, like the less that tangible reality was functioning. I feel like I have been seeing into the molecular levels and atomic levels. I'm not seeing like physical forms. I'm just seeing like undulating, pulsating spheres of light and beams.
That's all it is right now.
Yeah, we're just like pulsating beams of light and undulating forms of matter.
We're just a bunch of atoms that are vibrating at similar frequency that are finding one another in this time-space reality, essentially.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Meet me at Whole Foods. Yeah.
I'm like a cosmic Whole Food just flying through space.
Find me in the smoothie bowl aisle.
Okay, so if you all have not, this is especially for all of our queer and trans friends who are listening, please do a Google search for you Meet Me at Whole Foods couple on YouTube and just enjoy the ride.
Pisces.
Pisces. Oh my God. Yeah, that's so real though.
Yeah.
Pisces is like, okay, so Pisces to me is like the really cool older, like the cool mom, like the cool stoner mom who like lives in the woods and is like, hey, this is a safe place to express and explore.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. No, I kind of feel that. And I also feel like when I think about Pisces in my mind, I think about like the caves that are underneath in the ocean.
Mm, yeah.
It gets like the depths of the depths.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, oh my God, what is down there? Do I dare? I would love to share the cards I pulled for the collective reading. So I pulled cards from the Living Altar Oracle deck as well as the Toth deck. I pulled cards for what our theme is at this time, what is healing, what we can focus on moving forward, as well as any last messages. The themes that we have at this time are winter, as well as the Eight of Cups. So we're moving in the Northern Hemisphere from winter into spring. While I do feel, I still feel like the lessons of winter are integrating at this time. I feel like it's always like the last 3 weeks of winter that there's this like deep integration of the lessons that we've learned through the season. And the medicine of winter is like fully integrating into our kind of our thoughts, our beings, our, you know, our spirits. And something I'm really seeing around that is, you know, that connection to our boundaries, you know, which we've been talking about all winter long and forever. and that sense of kind of value system, identity, our roots, our structures, our foundations, that is going to hold the flow of this Pisces energy. Because I think about with Pisces, like there needs to be a vessel for it to be held in. Or else it's just this, like, it's like you're kind of in a bathtub drowning in outer space. That's kind of what it feels like sometimes, where it's just like, you're just like, I don't know where I am in time and space.
You have to, like, find the plug for the bathtub, or else the tub gets filled with space. And then you start sinking in space. Instead of, like, enjoying that Piscean ride, which is, like, basically being in a cosmic bathtub sailing through space.
Oh, my
which is literally what Pisces wants us to do. Pisces just really is like, hey, let's just... let's just fly through space.
Let's just fly. Yes. And with the Eight of Cups, I feel like this is so much about that inventory of kind of creating the boundaries within self around release of kind of what needs to die before you move into this next season. What needs to be cleared? What needs to be kind of let go of? What needs to be surrendered? And I feel like this is also kind of that shift into the new chapter, the walking away or the letting go of, you know, the energies that, you know, are ready to shed. You know, I feel like every winter, as we move into spring, there's a bit of a death and rebirth that process that feels like a shedding to me. So I'm definitely hearing, like, what are you shedding as you move into spring? What are you kind of thawing out of? What are you, you know, releasing at this time as you move into this next season? Which brings me to my next topic, which is what is healing at this time? And I drew the childhood spell card from the Living Altar, as well as justice. So childhood, that it feels like it makes a lot of sense, because this could be that there are, you know, childhood hurts or pains, or, you know, just a sense of even reclaiming that sense of joy and curiosity and inspiration of childhood. It feels kind of like it's an entire multidimensional mix of everything as, you know, the season wraps up. Especially coupled with the Justice card, because the Justice card is so much about clarity and truth and personal truths. So something I'm hearing is, you know, because time is so strange right now, there might be an experience of accessing these different timelines kind of through all time and space. There might be that you have a lot of younger selves present with you. There might be kind of an ancestral energy that feels extremely present because the veil is so thin. your spirits might be very present with you or feel closer than usual. And I'm hearing that there's like something getting worked out around the concept of truth and personal truth in this process. Because I feel like Pisces is so kind of existential, and we still have a lot in Aquarius as well. It feels like there's this like kind of thought process around like what is real, what is truth. And I'm hearing like you get to decide what your truth is. You get to decide what your experience is, and you get to validate yourself for your own lived experiences. And letting go of like the external gaslighting or gaslighting from the systems or societal oppressions, that you get to name for yourself what your truth is. And it feels like there's kind of a collective experience around that. I've also been tracking that there's a lot around like revisiting the past that's happening collectively right now. We were just talking about that mm-hmm. last night around like nostalgia. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that can be also, you know, an interesting an internal conversation to have when you're deeply revisiting your past or the past or even the collective past. And it's so interesting because I was just watching this. It feels related, but I was just watching this kind of clip on the internet today. and it was, I had watched the Britney Spears documentary a couple weeks ago. I highly recommend it. It's on
Hulu?
Hulu.
Yeah. It's like a New York Times Presents. It's like a docuseries on Hulu. Yeah. And one of the episodes is it's called Framing Britney.
Yeah, highly recommend it because it really brings into the conversation how, you know, Britney Spears, and I think this goes for a lot of celebrities during that time of the early 2000s, were treated and portrayed and really gaslighted in, you know, celebrity culture and by the media. And I was watching this clip on YouTube that was, it was looking at this past interview led by Diane Sawyer, and it was, you know, basically a commentary on the misogyny and the gaslighting and the harassment that, you know, was happening within this interview. And at the time, it wasn't seen as that, right? It wasn't like named mm-hmm. as that, but now we're like looking into the past. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing these...
We're learning
and we're seeing... And as a collective...
Discovering these patterns and these...
Yeah, exactly. And, like, it's honestly, like, just, you know, trigger warning, it's really hard to watch because it's very slut-shaming, it's misogyny at, you know, at its height. And, you know, it's just, like, very heart-wrenching to watch, you know, Diane Sawyer speak to Britney Spears, who was like 19 at the time, in this certain way that was, you know, very degrading and condescending.
And so, co-signing of the cis heteronormative patriarchy.
Exactly. Yeah. It's very, it really like was hard to watch, but I think it's important, as a collective that we are going through this deep, unlearning of those systems within the collective. And I think a lot of that process means revisiting the past. So that's what I'm sensing, you know, around the childhood and the justice card. What we need to focus on at this time, I pulled transformation and the Nine of Cups, which is awesome because transformation is, you know, I feel like it's exactly what's happening during the shift into this next season. So, with all the Pisces energy and the Aquarius energy, I've been personally really craving the element of fire. So I would actually recommend working with fire during this time to allow there to be almost like an elemental balancing in your personal ritual practice, in kind of your daily practice. A way I'm recommending doing that is just even working with candle magic is really nice. I feel like it brings in that level of like kind of balance, subtle and like gentle balance with fire. I really love working with visualizations. A visualization I've been working through or just bringing into my daily practice lately is I build a fire with my mind. And something I do is I actually invite my ancestors to be around the fire with me. And we just put everything we want to be transformed into the fire. All of us, I invite my ancestors to do this and my spirits. And we just kind of stand around in my mind, in my consciousness, this fire that creates alchemy, it creates transmutation, and it sends everything back to source. And it's a really great, you know, self-clearing practice that can be integrating fire. I also feel like the Nine of Cups really symbolizes the dreaming and the imagination of Pisces, especially with Venus and Pisces. I really feel like right now is a great time to really invite that Venetian energy into your life, into your home, into your world. Let yourself just be in that dreamy space. Right now is a great time to create a photo shoot for yourself. Take some selfies, and don't just like take a selfie, right? It's like build a set for yourself.
Oh, build a set. Do like, yeah. Give yourself a full living altar.
Yeah.
Like glamour
makeover.
Shot.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like right now is a really great time to experiment and let yourself be in like a lush and like, you know, opulent space that you can really relish in yourself and kind of relish in that dreamy inspiration and imagination. Read poetry, you know, admire some art, check out the Museum of Museums opening.
Yeah.
And go see the Living Altars
in the Good Witch Bad Witch exhibit that was curated by the Hood Witch Bri Luna and Greg from Museum of Museums. So many amazing artists are in there, including one of our faves, Edgar Fabian Frias. And I mean, so many other amazing folks are in this exhibit as well. We'll put the link in the story notes.
Yeah, so this would be a great time to really just find your inspiration, let yourself be inspired, and really let yourself just flow with your creativity. I feel like that's all I've been wanting to do is I'm like, I don't want to be a person who has to be somewhere on time. I just want to, like, make some art, man. Like, I just want to microdose mushrooms and make some art, you know? Make a little dance video here and there.
I feel like that's, like, totally Pisces.
I know.
Yeah, right?
Totally. It's, like, that 70s,
oh, totally.
Like, guy that's, like, hey, man, just come up on the porch and just,
it's like, whatever.
It's whatever, yeah. You can just be whatever you need to be right now, bro. So the last messages for anything we need to know are relationship from the Living Altar, as well as the Three of Pentacles, which are awesome because I feel like this is our only grounding in this whole reading. It's like try to be on Earth. Try to be on Earth. So something I'm hearing with relationships specifically, and I feel like the gift of Pisces season and all these Pisces energies, are how do we be a spirit in a human form? I want to just like bring in a perspective that like seeing that this is an experience of that it can be very magical, that can be, you know, we come here. I'm going to get existential for a minute.
Yeah, get it.
We come to Earth because there's a very specific density that is a very specific magic. And I think about the idea of like magic and sorcery, like source is like that connection between the earth and the divine. And we get to experience this union of, you know, the greater than, the mystery, the unknown, and this earthly, denser experience of this time-space reality that we're in. So I'm hearing that, like, right now is a time to really relish in that, and not just relish, but if you're having a hard time being in a human body, that's okay too, and it's okay to also disassociate into the void at times. I think, like, there's a lot of pressure sometimes to be embodied, like, be like, okay, I have to be in my body at all times. I think it's okay to let yourself kind of go into those dream states and go into, you know, the void when you need to, because you're collecting information.
I feel like when we spend time, when we spend intentional time cultivating an intentional relationship with our imagination, I think that we're also developing a deeper relationship with our spiritual center, our spiritual source. I feel like our imagination is the creativity of the creative forces coming through us. And
yeah.
I think that there's so much healing available to us in daydream, and
yeah.
there's so much healing to us in imagination. And as artists, I feel like for me, my imagination is not an intangible thing.
Mm-hmm.
My imagination is a completely different realm that I get to exist in and have an entire life within, because
mm-hmm.
it is part of my existence. It's part of who I am.
Yeah.
And it's very healing and safe for me to be in my imaginative realm. But also, over the years, learning to be more intentional about it as somebody who is consistently, you know, daydreaming or imagining or in fantasy. And, you know, in order to create art, I have to develop a relationship with that space. And in order to function, I have to make sure that that relationship is intentional.
I feel that too. And, that's where I think like certain grounding techniques have been really helpful.
What's your favorite grounding technique right now?
So honestly, like going on walks on the trail that I live on, and connecting to the wind actually has been really actually very grounding. It's like I'm grounding through air,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of sounds really counterintuitive,
mm-hmm.
but I feel really comfortable and at home in air, the element of air. I'm walking with air this year, and I'm a Libra with an Aquarius moon, so it's fun. It's so fun. I feel so at home in air, and
we're also in the air season. Like, spring is all about air. Well,
yeah.
in the Northern Hemisphere, and so it's like it just almost is like to ground.
Yeah.
As a witch, as a traditional witch, you have to also be in relationship with whatever's happening around you. And right now,
exactly.
there's just a lot of air up here in the Pacific Northwest.
There really is. And
a lot of spring to ground into.
I feel that. And, like, I think sometimes, like, the concept of grounding, we think about rooting into the
mm-hmm.
earth, you know? And I actually don't feel like that's always very helpful as someone who exists in the ether.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a star being, so
mm-hmm.
I really actually feel more grounded when I'm connected through grounding through air, which,
mm-hmm.
yeah, every morning and every night I go on walks with air, and I like let the air kind of move through me and clear me, and even just like the motion of like moving my arms
mm-hmm.
back and forth, like actually it creates a sense of home for me.
Yeah.
And I really like to ground into my heart space
yeah.
rather than like rooting into the earth, you know. Well, you know, I just want to name like that is like an entirely legitimate
yeah.
way to ground, you know, like
all of our early babies.
It just really depends. Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to Well, I don't know. I don't want to speak for you, Kiki, but I think, like, when I hear you say that, I think about finding roots and finding groundedness in through my relationships with myself, with mm-hmm. the world around me, with my witchcraft, with my mm-hmm. witch, with my friends. Like, that's what I feel is grounding to me. And if that means, like, building energetic roots into the actual solid terra firma of our planet, then that's cool. But if it means, like, reaching up and through Pisces into the cosmos to expand, so that I can be in relationship with this really expansive energy that's mm-hmm. already existing around us, like, that to me is also really grounding. And when I hear, like, people say, oh, ground into the earth, what that tells me is, like, oh, ground into your relationships.
Yeah, which exactly I feel like is the relationship card from the mm-hmm. living altar.
Yeah, that you read. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I would encourage folks at home to think about what are your relationships to grounding and rooting, and is there a element that you really have a relationship with that you've cultivated that can help you ground and center as you move through these Piscean waters this season? So yeah, that's the reading that we have for today.
That's so awesome. Thank you for that reading.
Of course. I wanted to just add that there is a sense of composting that's happening. Yeah. And I think that's a gift of winter as well, that we can compost this past year. We can compost our, you know, everything that we're releasing in this process, and it can be transformed through the soil of the earth, and it can be made into something that we can use as, you know, power, or, you know, something that we can grow our harvest mm-hmm. through, because the new moon today is also linked to the full moon on September 20th, which is a full moon in Pisces this year, which is right in the midst of harvest season. Mm-hmm. So we're wanting to also think about, what are we wanting to create for the next 6 months? Thinking about your harvest come, you know, autumn of 2021, what needs to be composted, what needs to be added to the soil to grow your seeds in? 'Cause that which you're shedding can also be made of use.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thanks for that addition. That was really cool. So, Pisces, I want to talk about, in terms of this month's witch tips and altar tending suggestions, I wanted to first start by just having a conversation about Pisces for a minute. Pisces, to me, feels like the great wisdom keeper of the zodiac. Pisces feels like an entity that tends to our memories, and really allows for us to unfold and push deeper into our explorations of self, our relationships in the world, and our place within it. So I wanted to just sort of lay that down on the table here, because I wanted to talk about drawing upon this new moon energy as a portal to access clarification, access healing, access insight and inspiration from past experiences, so we can bring them forward into the now. I believe very much that memories are portals to the past, and that they also not only can tap us into past situations, but also the energy that was raised in those moments, energy that maybe was displaced in those moments. You know, like, not all memories are bad. Not all remembering is painful. some remembering is really blessed and can be super helpful in moving us forward, or even helping us to stay still and not necessarily, you know, expend our energy. And sometimes remembering is challenging and painful, and there's ways that we can be still in relationship with those memories in functional ways and in ways that feel good and safe to us. And Pisces, I think the energy of Pisces is a really good energy, a really helpful, not good, but helpful energy in bringing us into, I think, a more comfortable, more safe relationship with our memory and the energy of those rememberings. Pisces energy also feels like, in regards to memory, you know, our memories are reflecting on our memories and recapitulating energy from past moments into present goals or present values and belief systems is such a really it's such a necessary ritual in the cultivation not only of our, you know, the character that we are hoping to express in the world and operate through, but also in harnessing wisdom from past experiences. And so I think that we have to go into memory spaces and rituals of remembering to bring not only the energy forward, but the learnings forward. Mm-hmm. And I'm a Virgo sun. I'm a singleton earth. But when my Virgo sun shows up, it shows up like I just want to make sure that I've not only understood the situation and am in a honest and healthy relationship with the memory, but I also want to make sure that I've learned as much as I can from it. Y'all might have different relationships with remembering and memories and things like that, but I love to analyze experiences and just try to like work out how to use them towards the advantage of personal growth and interpersonal growth with relationships to others. So that's really cool. I think that tends to happen for me a lot in this winter to spring transition, in a way that is like super exciting to me, like in a way that I'm really looking forward to it, in a way of like, curiosity. Mm-hmm. As compared to the autumnal transition from summer to autumn or from autumn to winter, where the excitement and curiosity of that transition is slightly masked by accountability. And I say that because, you know, coming from winter into spring, we're reflecting on all that we've learned, all that we've experienced, and there is a responsibility to that reflection. We owe that reflection a particular course of action. Now, what that action is, I think, you know, it's up to you and your circumstances. But in the winter, it's like action is no longer what we're focusing on. We're focusing on integration. And for me, that speaks a lot to the energy of accountability, where the responsibility turns inward. We have to account within ourselves. We have to bring to ourselves a reflection that helps us to understand. And so coming from winter into spring, there's a ritual of the ritual of understanding has already occurred, mm-hmm. right? That's winter. Wintering is a ritual of understanding, mm-hmm. and spring is a ritual of integration or synthesis to me. And so
yeah.
I wanted to say all of that because something that really keeps coming up for me in my body and in my personal moments, as well as moments with clients and students, is that, you know, we are entering into a year mark of lockdown, of quarantine, we're over a year of COVID affecting us globally. And we also, in this year, or more have experienced the death of 2.6 million people worldwide. And I think that that just, as someone who is from a diasporic people who experienced mass deaths as a result of genocide and political neglect, I just feel like over 2.5 million people dead, that's just, how can that not be impactful? Mm-hmm. You know, how can that not be impactful? 2.63 million people, how can we not be experiencing mm-hmm. The impact of that loss? And I wanted to just take a moment to hold us as we just let that realization not sink in necessarily, but synthesize with our circumstances, synthesize mm-hmm. in the space around you, synthesize in your understanding of the energy of this moment. I don't think that we can integrate something so vast. I think that we have to just simply allow it to be part of mm-hmm. our reality, and part, it's a lens now, it's a variable, it's mm-hmm. it's so vast. But, you know, that grief, the grief in witnessing 2.63 million people's deaths by COVID, letting that just kind of like settle into the air around you, it brings context to maybe some of the things you may or may not be experiencing or feeling at this time in this Pisces energy. And it's okay to not have names for things when you're having feelings. And it's okay mm-hmm. to not have context sometimes for where the feelings are coming from. But I really just want to encourage everyone to allow themselves to honor the context of 2.63 million people having died this year from COVID. Like just normalize that is context that we are all working with at this time. Are working within.
And Pisces is so much about the collective experience, or like the collective well mm-hmm. of like thoughts and feelings and emotions. And so it makes sense if you're experiencing a level of grief right now that may feel out of context. There possibly, might be that core to that collective.
Yeah, absolutely.
Experience that feels very present.
What I want to say is that, one of the other ways that we experience memory and the opportunity of harvesting wisdom is through the honoring of anniversaries. And we are at an anniversary of lockdown. We are at an anniversary date of quarantine. We are at a place 1 year from when we all were trying to understand at a very rapid level something so incomprehensible as a global pandemic. And so my altar tending suggestion for everyone is to make an altar that honors the anniversary of the beginning of lockdown. Make an altar that also incorporates a space to grieve for our relatives. 2.63 million people. And also place on that altar a willingness to understand the disparities, the cultural disparities, the social disparities that exist as a result of constructs rooted in white supremacy and kyriarchy and imperialism and colonialization, as well as, of course, the cishet normative patriarchy. Allow on your altar a space to understand mm-hmm. how those constructs, those systems, mm-hmm. and the way that we benefit from them are complicit mm-hmm. in the death of 2.63 million people. Mm-hmm. And if we are people who experience violence and marginalization because of those constructs, place on our altar protections and banishments of the barriers that exist because of the way those constructs interact with our identities. Yeah. And draw through the portal of that altar the magic necessary to synthesize these reflections and this awareness into your life circumstances now moving forward as a way to like bring that learning present. The ways I think about doing that are, I love blessing up a mirror with the energy of reflecting into the ancestral field. Mirrors are really wonderful for scrying. They're really, really powerful tools for helping us to dive deeper into reflections and reflective states. Mm-hmm. Consecrate, bless, and charge up your mirrors in the ways that you know how or in ways that you feel intuitively and appropriately to do. Bless and charge up your mirror protect with protections because mirrors are also portals. Mm-hmm. A way that I like to add protection to mirror working is I will place a candle in front of a mirror so that I process all the energy through the reflection of the fire and also through the tangible fire, so that if there's anything that can be cleansed from the reflection, it is cleansed in the mirror and before it reaches me through the fire. Mm-hmm. I also like to make sure that I cut the image of myself from the mirror by wiping my hands over the mirror or clapping in front of the mirror to separate my vision from that of the reflective portal that a mirror represents and invokes. I also will encourage everyone to cover their mirrors with a scarf or a handkerchief or something while not in use on your altar. This is also a way of invoking a bereavement, a sense of bereavement for loss, but also it's a way of making sure the portal is ritualistically closed between uses. Pisces just feels like this deep, reflective, expansive wisdom keeper. And at this time of Pisces, very, very big Pisces energy, I think it could be really helpful for us to willingly reflect and bring curiosity, the curiosity of spring, into that reflection in a way that helps us maybe name some action steps for ourselves this year or some goals for ourselves this year that we'd like to accomplish or that we would like to tend to because of, in spite of, whatever, you know.
You're listening to Altars of Witches.
So one of the things I'd like to offer is a blessing for family and friends at this time, not only because of the anniversaries that we are experiencing, but also just winter to spring can be really challenging. Transitions through the seasons can be really challenging in general. Yeah. And for folks who may be listening in the Southern Hemisphere, like transition from summer to winter can be challenging through that autumnal portal. Mm-hmm. So just drawing on all this transitional energy, Kiki and I are going to offer a blessing from my book, A Practical Guide for Witches. There's a blessing for family and friends. And yeah, I'd like for everybody to just breathe and just settle into this prayer.
I call upon the virtue of air to open the ways before those I love so they may access with ease that which offers them inspiration.
I call upon the passion of fire to illuminate the ways before those I love so that they may access with ease that which offers them healing.
I call upon the wisdom of water to transmute the ways before those I love so that they may access with ease that which offers them comfort.
I call upon the boundaries of Earth to enrich the ways before those I love, so they may access with ease that which offers them kindness.
May the grace of the ancestors walk with me and those I love. May my loved ones walk in the grace of this blessing and find themselves remembered well.
May we all do well with what we remember. And so it is.
So it is. We would love to take a moment to advertise our personals service from Bimbo Yoga and Space Daddy. Coming to you as your personal matchmakers, submit to us your personals via our DMs at The Living Altar on Instagram. Send us your personals ad along with your Instagram handle so we may include it in our next Altars Up Witches podcast. Let us be your personal matchmaker.
All right, so now it's time for book club.
Okay, so I have a confession. So in the Pisces swirl pool, I want to share a personal experience of time vortex magic. So I didn't read the book because I thought I ordered it online. In my mind, I was like, I ordered it, and it just never came, and that's fine. And I was like, oh, it's supposed to come next week. It's gonna come next week. And then all of a sudden, it was the Pisces new moon, and I realized that I actually didn't order it. But you know when you think in your mind that maybe in another dimension I did actually order it? And it's probably in my cart somewhere, and I never actually clicked order. So that's my Pisces adventure story. So that's where I'm at.
I feel like that's me in regards to, like, text messages, emails, I mean, any form of communication, letters. I think my Mercury is in Pisces, in the somewhere house. Yeah. In the fourth house, I think. Oh, my God. Yeah, I am halfway through the book. I'm listening to it on my Audibles. It is very good. No spoilers.
Okay.
So this month we're going to finish reading Parable of the Sower, and next month we will have some thoughts about it. Also, we wanted to offer our March Book of the Month book. It is a book of poetry by Francis Roberts Riley, who is a Romani poet, and it is called Paramisha. Paramisha. And I want to read from the back cover in Francis's own words about this book. What's written about us by non-Roma is a stereotypical image that's both romantic and vilified. In writing our own Paramisha story, we are obligated to deconstruct those prevailing narratives readily available in popular culture and that have unjustly treated us. Paramisha challenges the reader to reconstruct a new image as a life-affirming narrative of our wholeness as Romani people. I'm really excited about this book of poems. I actually have read most of the poems in this book already, but I'm really excited to revisit them. The first time I read it, I just cried my way through it. So I just wanted to thank Frances Roberts Riley for her brilliant fucking work. So please check out this book of poem, Paramisha, P-A-R-R-A-M-I-S-H-A. Isha. We'll also have a link to Francis Roberts Riley's work in the show notes as well.
Cool. Shall we talk about our witch crushes?
Witch crushes.
My witch crush is my snake, Ooh. Candy, which she insisted that I make her my witch crush publicly. So publicly announcing that Candy is my witch crush. I have had my snake now for 6 months, wow. And she's an absolute angel. She's a Cancer, and a Cancer she is. She told me and my partner the other day that we don't understand what she's going through. So she's in her teenage phase right now. I feel like the true service top daddy that I'm supposed to be to the animals in my life. And my favorite thing to do is spritz her cage and make it rain. So that's my witch crush.
I love it. My witch crush is also my dear, sweet, serpentine friend, Kushti. I adopted Kushti in November. Kushti is a lavender albino ball python. Such a cutie. He's a Leo, and wow, he is most definitely a Leo. He demanded a vivarium, so we have a bioactive habitat, which has been so fun to keep and learn about and maintain, with my isopod colonies. They're so cool. I just love bugs. I've always loved bugs. And, my favorite thing that Kushti does is he will, crawl on the, I have like crawling sticks, and he'll crawl on the sticks and he'll wrap himself around and he'll just like reach towards me and like crawl onto my hand. It's really so sweet. Yeah, I also love feeding him. He demands live mice, so that's always a very interesting experience. I see that experience as a devotional practice to honor the spirits of the ancestors, Hecate, Baba Yaga, Marjanya. It's really quite beautiful. I'm just so grateful for him for helping me connect deeper into my relationship with, yeah, those Chthonian spirits that I adore and love so deeply, and to do so in such a personal way.
God, that's so sweet.
If you've got cute pets and fun times with cute pets, I don't know where I was going with that. Never mind.
No, we want to hear about your cute pets.
We want to hear about your cute pets. Yeah.
Yes. So
if you've got cute pets and you have fun times with your cute pets,
yeah,
you need to share those stories with us on Instagram.
Yeah. Hashtag Witch Crush Wednesday. Or whenever. Witch Crush whenever.
Hashtag familiars of Instagram.
I could hear like my familiar being like, not just Wednesday, bitch.
Yeah, every day.
It's every day. So get it right.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah,
so like, go, sorry.
So go boop the snoots for Bimbo Yaga and Space Daddy and tell your pets that we love them.
Boop those snoots.
Yep, boop those snoots. Tell your pets we said hi.
Yeah. Cool. What's next?
Well, what's next is witches in
outer space. Space.
I want to say I've really been enjoying this Pisces season. I feel like I am a space cadet in so many ways, and I feel like Pisces season just gives me full permission to go just be like extreme space. Like, I am a nebula at this point.
Yes, I think honestly, like, reclaim space cadet.
Reclaim space cadet, hashtag nebula, hashtag, like, you know, whatever.
Airheads in space.
Airheads in space. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where we are. My favorite way of connecting to Pisces energy lately has just been getting, like, really, really stoned.
Mm-hmm.
With cannabis or mushrooms, and just like masturbating in space. I journey in my consciousness to space. Yeah. I let myself astrally project and expand until I am in the cosmos, and then I just get fucked by interstellar waves.
Wow.
It is amazing. Y'all should try it.
Do you think one of those waves is from a black hole?
I think it is the wave of the black hole. I think it's in perpetuity.
Yeah.
We still don't know where the black hole is. Where's the black hole?
Where in the world is the black hole?
Where in the galaxy? Where in the universe? Are we in the black hole, or is the black hole in us?
Yes, I think probably both.
I think a bit of both. Did y'all hear that they finally were able to, I guess, decipher the data recently of a solar system hurricane, like a space hurricane that was above the North Pole that was also raining down electrons into the North Pole? That was freaking wild, but that was from 2014. But it just got me thinking, like, if electrons can be, like, rain, what else can electrons be?
I think they can be probably anything you want them to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it also makes me think about the galactic sun. You know, the sun that's at the center of our universe.
Yeah.
I think about that sun a lot. I actually really like working with that sun, because I really love working with solar magic. I started working quite a bit with solar magic starting like a year or two ago, and I really love working with solar magic, and something I do and sometimes recommend is working with the galactic sun, which is not necessarily the sun in our solar system, but the sun that is at the center of our galaxy.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm going to repeat what I said earlier because I think it's more appropriate in context here. I think another really cool way of working with space energy is through sexuality and sensuality and eroticism. Because for me, the erotic, it's such a sensorial experience that cannot be limited to the physical plane. And so for me, what is erotic is also really liminal, including space. And you all know that, I mean, if it's a surprise that that Space Daddy and I are completely enamored with black holes, please listen to our previous New Moon episode.
We like talk about black holes every episode.
Literally, it's like, what should we talk about in Witches in Space? Let's talk about black holes. But I just feel like sometimes my relationship with the sensual reality or sensual realms is as insatiable as a black hole. And so one of the things that I do, and one of the things I love about Pisces season, or Pisces energy in general, is that it allows me to expand even further into the cosmos when I'm experiencing erotic pleasure through either masturbation or through other forms of deep sensual play. I like to work with flying salves, which is flying salves, the application of psilocybin on my skin, or consuming the mushroom allies and friends, or working with weed and cannabis, or even just working with breath. You don't have to consume substances, but you can work with your own breathing, work with your own active imagination to allow your energy and psychic body to expand until you are outside of the earth sphere and become one with literal cosmic waves and let them roll through you and roll around you and, you know, become your own galactic center.
I love that imagery.
Absolutely.
I taught a dream magic workshop last night via my Patreon, and I feel called to touch upon something I was sharing in the magical workshop. And I really love working with dream magic, not necessarily centered in interpretation of dreams, but dream magic in the way of accessing other realms, the other world, and the depths of our subconscious and the power of that creativity through our sleep state. And something the spirits are really wanting me to talk about is astral travel. And, you know, I think a lot of us, those who are magically inclined, have had experiences where we travel at night. You know, we travel out-of-body experiences, and we travel through the dimensions or through the veil, and through the astral realms. And something I really recommend around this is being very intentional in that travel, because it can be, I've experienced, it can be a little, I don't know if risky is the right word, but you're going to want to put your protections on if you have a tendency to do that. And that's why I really love working with protection magic when I'm sleeping, having like a dream altar or a sleep altar, and having protections and kind of a tethering to my bed. because it leaves our bodies and our spirits vulnerable if we have a tendency to really travel out of our body when we're sleeping, or if we have a tendency to do our some work in other dimensions and realms. I've noticed that the astral field, or like the astral plane, can be kind of like this free-for-all sometimes. And when we travel through the astral realm, we really want to have our spiritual protections on our actual souls or spirits. So something I recommend around that is having actual physical, you know, physical representations of those protections. So having like a bundle or some sort of protection that actually you tie to your bed frame or have on your sleep altar, and then also shielding as you're going to bed. And how I really like to do that is I create my own dream space that I intentionally travel to that has protections built in. And then I can do my work from there. I can do my dream magic from that space.
I love that. I love intentional dreaming as a way of accessing like ancestral memories. And you can also work with both dream magic and intentional erotic expansion to access the memories of the cosmos, which is very Piscean well.
That's
and you
cool.
can set your container, set your prayer and your intention to masturbate yourself into like the cosmic like library.
Yes.
Which I find very sexy.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Give me a big, thick stack of books. You know what I mean?
Oh.
I want my books thick. And I want them musty. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
I'm a slut for old books. Come on now.
Oh, yes. There is a library and space
yeah.
that you can access any record
yeah.
of the cosmic histories
yep.
of our souls, of our, you know,
yep.
our timelines.
And the librarians there are hot.
Yeah.
Damn, they're
hot
really sexy.
Hot librarians.
Hot librarians. Hot yeah. interstellar,
galactic,
like interdimensional cosmic librarians. It's like a fucking party there.
Oh,
so you
for
can
sure.
tap into that. You can tap into the dream memories of the ancestors and work with this Pisces energy to help you remember the things that you need to remember to make the choices you need to make for this year, for this moving forward, for this next 6 month cycle.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. Well, I think
that
that's
feels
it.
Like it. Yeah.
yeah.
Okay. Signing off from space study.
And Bimbo Yaga.
Till next time.
Bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
sure to follow our guest and follow us on Instagram at The Living Altar for more information and upcoming rituals and conversations.
Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a comment and some positive feedback for this podcast. And tune in every new and full moon for new episodes.